Can you talk about where you see checkpoint inhibitors fitting in right now in the sequence of therapy?
Yeah, so I mean, you've seen those data coming from Japan from ATTRACTION-2. You've seen the data that I presented, that Charlie Fuchs presented at ASCO. There's clearly a tail on the curve, and there's a sort of flattening of the curve, and some people are truly, their lives have been changed with these drugs. But that percent is very, very small. Only approximately 10 to 15% of patients are truly long-term responders and benefit to these therapies. And what we're working on, me personally, but also others in the field, are trying to identify the best way to identify those patients, because as you mentioned, these therapies are not without toxicity and the cost of them are quite high. And so we need to identify the biomarker to best enrich these populations. MSI is certainly a possibility, EBV. And although PD-L1 helps enrich for a population that benefits, there's certainly PD-L1 negative patients that respond. So that may not be the best and the only biomarker.
Can you talk about right now where you see checkpoint inhibitors fitting in the sequence of therapy and what line therapy should they be used?
Right. Well, so for MSI patients, I would probably use them in second line therapy. Although, again, this will depend a lot on disease burden and the availability of the testing and the drugs. But these patients should be tested in first line setting for these biomarkers so that you can plan their treatment. And the way I envision it is it's a chess game and you need to plan your strategy out ahead of time. For unselected patients in a metastatic setting, I see these agents being in the near future FDA approved, probably in the third line setting.
And from your point of view, where do you think right now, based on the data that we have, it would be optimal to utilize these agents? And I'll ask you, for example, you have an older patient, frail, you're a little bit concerned about giving chemotherapy, they don't have a lot of disease burden. Why not give them it first line? It's less toxic than chemo.
Yeah, but it's not available first line. In a first line patient, I would probably not do compassionate release treatments because you have a lot to lose. I mean, these patients do well with monotherapy with 5-FU in a frail patient, and you could even potentially do dose reduced combination of 5-FU platinum. I mean, these drugs do cause side effects. You can develop acute interstitial nephritis after one dose of anti-PD-1 agent, and then you won't ever get to chemotherapy. And so to do this outside of a clinical trial in the first line setting, I would probably not advocate for that.
What about second line as opposed to paclitaxel,
It becomes, medicine is an art. And I always tell my fellows, a lot of what we do is not that straightforward. And so, I'm seeing patients now who progressed on neoadjuvant chemotherapy, progressed on neoadjuvant chemoradiation within, 2 months of completing this, developed liver metastasis. So they're clearly aggressive chemotherapy refractory disease. And so for me to tell them, well, you got to get more chemotherapy, it just is hard to swallow for the patients. And so we try to get them on a clinical trial with immunotherapy. And if there's no clinical trial, these agents are available on compassionate release basis.